We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Amen. How many thankful? I have so much to be thankful for. There's not a moment of the day that goes by, I don't care how difficult it may be, that you can't find something. That's how amazing God is, to just be thankful. He said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. How many just like to praise him? You know, one of my favorite things to do is after you've been up almost all morning and in the day and on my way home, I like to hit that button too, and just talks about the presence and the glory of God. And from the time I leave from the Marine and get home, I'm able to enter in a marvelous way. Now, how many know that as a believer, you're always in, but there's a time where you can just push. I believe the Lord says, look at him. Just look at him. He's pushing. And sometimes you got to push. See, a lot of people say they want him to come. What about pushing through the veil of humanity into his presence? And I like to push. And man, I tell you what, it's so refreshing. I mean, you could be having the roughest day and tired, and it's so refreshing. How many of you know when you do that, there's healing in that? Are y'all here? I felt God many times just when I was completely wanting just to refresh my body. Just a refreshing. And you listen, and here's the thing about how many times you want it. You can have it as many times as you want. You just got to push in there. And that's what's so amazing about God. I just love him and I thank him for his goodness. And I'm so thankful that on a Saturday night, somebody just wants to come out and say, you know what? This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice tonight and we're going to be glad in this day. This is the Lord's day and we're just so thankful. And he said, we have two or three will gather in my name. How many of you know what happened? He just comes right in the midst and he's here to touch. So we want to pray that our ears be unstopped and that we are ready to receive what God has for us. How many want to receive? So we take part in the word is going to be broken and we'll take part in that word. So how many ready to take it and eat it? Amen. That's what I want to do. So I appreciate the opportunity the Lord's given us. I thank you for coming out tonight. And remember, again, we have service in the morning and tomorrow night. So our regular scheduled service would be tomorrow. So we appreciate Brother Marcel. It's always good to see him. We appreciate him being here with us. And we thank God for him. Thank God for his commitment to the kingdom of the Lord and ministering the word all over the United States and lifting up the body and encouraging the body, strengthening the body in the word of God. And so we appreciate his dedication and his effort to the kingdom of God. And we appreciate him coming over here in Buras. Amen. Every time he comes just to minister the word to us. So, brother, are you ready? We'll come on up here. We'll give you the all the time you need tonight. And we always know if Brother Marcel is going to be ministering, we got to give him at least three services. Right? He got to break that stuff down and then put it all back together. So I don't know how he does it. Sometimes he only gets one service. And he must think, I don't know what these folks think they want out of me. But we're going to give him three services because we know how he's break it down, put it all back together, and uplift the body. Amen. God bless you, brother. We love you.
So I informed her of that. I said, Kim said, I can't come back down there without you. So get ready. She said, well, I was already planning on being there. You know, I said, well, good. And so she was, we were all set to come, and she didn't realize that I had to kill some things before she got here. So we had to rid some of those flying critters, some ducks from around. So she realized I was leaving on Thursday, and we've had a tremendous week taking care of our grandkids. Our daughter's out of town. Husband's working, and so we've been kind of jumping around our last week of vacation. That's what we did. Amen? But then we had a house guest and from some time back, and just so that there was a time that she was in need of ministering. And so my wife is there now, right now, ministering to her. And I called her en route. She was going to leave this morning and be here tonight. So I called her on the other side of Alexander and said, I think you need to stay. And she did. And so I'm here alone. Kim. There you go. So just, you know, give me this one, all right? And I promise not to come back down here without her again. Hallelujah. And she's missing you as well. I heard some things from the Lord 5 years ago. And I went, and as I've done in times gone by, and sat down and mulled them over and chewed on them, and I figured, you know, it wouldn't be long before I'd be out there at least sharing some of that stuff. Not a word of it has been shared. Not a word. Until tonight. Not one word. And so I'd go back and I'd try to get some things together on it. This will work, that'll work, and there was never an outlet. I remember the Lord told my wife when we went into ministry, He said, stockpile the word of God in you. When the time comes, I'll pull it out where it's needed. And we've done that for 30 plus years. I've been doing that for 5 years, expecting somewhere down the line he'd pull it out. And didn't even begin to since that, well, actually I did, about Wednesday. But I'm going to admit to you, the praise and worship team almost had me questioning, because it really kind of had dual messages in my spirit, leaning toward that one heavily. There have been times I've come to the pulpit with one and teach another one. But, when you start talking about that name, that could mess a fellow up. Amen? Because that's all about that name. And we start singing about that name. I said, well, Lord, maybe that's the direction I need to go. And I didn't hear anything from heaven, so we're going to stay where we're supposed to be. 5 years of incubation, 5 years of mulling over, 5 years of testimony on the inside of me about to come out. And we're going to have us a good time, and if you don't want to, just, you know, leave your good time here, I'll take that as well. Like some of those fellows, if we shoot those ducks, we don't want them. I say, I'll take them right back to Tulsa. Glory to God. All right? Let's lift our hands one more time. Yeah, Lord, we bless you. We glorify your name. We thank you for your manifested presence, the anointing of God, the holy reverence of God. The house is full of your glory. And we lean, like Pastor just told us, into the things of the Holy One. Manifest in divers ways, O God. Let the glory of your presence come out in ways heretofore not even known by us. That our very physique tremble from the goodness of the Lord tonight. Be careful, restem, rogele, reskinda le brado lo justo lo mambre eleding, rega, rugudoro bishitelema, greduro, redemba dolo mo shitele registemam. Ragoro bishikre meno roshure banganegist rego rebande nugrobo jinde le destala mambranze le gende le stonumbranze e le dos rabe dalla dongolo mongile de bambre e le deng rabalor zorre gest palazia regedonze mandele le standa alle besk. Roboshe te le basco noa, credele mande e le desk, redinge lo robogite le mambra alla dosse che le manda. And I've called you the family, says the Lord of hosts. The family, the family, the family. not your natural bloodline, because that could be surely the case in this congregation, but a greater and a deeper bloodline, a line that comes from heaven. A royal blood runs through your veins, and it shall manifest to other families in the earth. I've called you, and I've courted you, and I've weaned you, says the Lord of hosts, from the day you said yes to me. And these days are days that you walk in the things that I've whispered to you in the night seasons. They shall manifest in the daytime in this season, not next year, not next month, but beginning these very days, says the Lord of hosts. And so shall it be among you. They'll marvel and marvel and marvel. That little group, that bunch right there, they are the ones that have challenged me. I've hid these things from you, says the Lord, to reveal them to you in this hour. And so shall it be with you. As I've said in times gone past through other prophets and other ministers, there is a time, there is a time, there is a time. And the time is now and it has arrived. So gird up your loins with the truth of the word of God and be ready, for the time is at hand, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory. Glory. Glory to the Lord of hosts. He's worthy. He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Ne reke ush roboshi nembra rugodo. He's worthy. Glory to God. Shoulders that have borne burdens of others shall no longer be, says the Lord of hosts. For I've watered and I've weathered and I've stayed with you, son. So get ready, get ready, get ready. Times of refreshing are at hand, says the Lord of hosts. These are times of refreshing from the Lord of hosts. Gird yourself with truth. Stand up and get out here. Get over here, sweetie. Lift your hands to the Lord. Recluse, closed, hidden, one might say. Literally wrapped in self. Oh, that's not the case at all. That quiet time of worship, that quiet time of praise, and that quiet time of prayer is about to meet its end in recompense. So it shall come to pass. Things that you've done with me, says the Lord, that none have seen, not parent, not friend, not relative, is about to bear witness with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll bear great fruit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, Lord, we'll get at it. Glory to God. Yeah. Well, seems like he's not done. So these things that have been whispered, these things that rested in you on the pillow, these things that sometimes kept you awake through the nighttime, how can this be? It'll be through me, says the Lord. For if you could have done it, you would have done it. If you needed it, and I had it, you requested it of me and you got it. But some would say, I requested and didn't get. Oh, the days are yet unfolding, says the Lord. Your bounty is en route, and so shall it be in these days. You won't step back, even amongst yourselves, and say, well, that one is prospering more than me, and that one's better than I. For the word of God is true, and you shall prosper in the days that you've seen past a little bit. And you've done this and that. And great monies have come through your hands, and lesser monies have come through your hands. And you thought that was the prosperity that I spoke about. So, Lord, there's a greater, greater, greater prosperity. And it looms before you, says the Lord, and you shall walk in it in these days, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise. Do you love him? I said, do you love him? Now, I heard that word, family, sitting at the dinner table. Well, I wasn't eating dinner. But I couldn't wait to get back to Tulsa to try some of those ducks, so I microzapped a couple of them. And I was munching on that in the Spirit of God. I heard family, family, so no wonder this thought came aboard. But as he said, it's easy to say family in this church. And I would misconstrue his meaning, because we see family, 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 80% probably family. But oh, it trumps this many times over. For, if you let me do it, Lord, I will. For, I about buckled doing praise service. My knees, I almost lost my knees. About buckled. So it was turning over on the inside of me. Because you are all family. You've been reserved for this family, this bunch, this group, to be this family. And to not look at the family of the families and extricate yourself from them and look to them as the family of this church, because you are family. And the word of God has rested upon your hearts that it has theirs, and to a greater degree, some of you more than some of the biological ones. And you carry that burden. It's the burden of the Lord. It's an easy yoke-bearing burden. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Well, he won't let me go any further because I got some things I saw over there. Must be for another time. Might be another minute from now. Who knows? But it's another time. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I had no idea we'd go this direction. So let me commend every praise and worship person in the building. Stand up. Stand up. And let me say something to you. I have been involved, as many of you know, in music since I was 16 years old. I've led praise teams. I've been on praise teams. I've abhorred praise teams. I've been around disgusting praise teams. I've been around glorious praise teams. I've been a part of both of those. Amen. Wanted to walk off the stage many a time. And thank God I was on the stage many a time. But nothing, no notation, no great skill sets, no pitch perfect equals the anointing of God. And when it shows up, you just walk on in. And so I commend you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for stepping it up to where you entreat his presence. Amen. Sit down and thank you. Praise God. Now again, had no idea we'd go this direction, because I heard myself say this in my spirit. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. say to them, this will not be preachy and teachy. So I'll say it to you. I just did, didn't I? It will not be preachy and teachy. I'm known to preach. I'm known to teach. Sometimes I teach, preach. Sometimes I preach, teach. But it will be inspirational, even though it'll be quiet. Well, I said it would. But if I have me a Pentecostal fit, don't bother me. Amen? Just get out of my way. Because it's a subject that probably, well, no, probably everybody in here has to deal with. And one way or another, we're either in that flow of dealing with it presently, have dealt with it, or going to deal with it. And so we're going to talk about healing tonight. We're going to step on over there. I felt like this thing, give me a chair, and we'll go to class. Rather than, you know, preaching and teaching, just some things that, and this has been, man, 5 years. And I never knew the point of release, but I'm so glad that you're ready for it. That he saw it, that you were ready for it. Not me, but that he saw that. Whew, man, I'm so glad. Oh, thank you, Father. Now, man. Let's do a couple of things here that I'm going to be very conscientious of the time. I've looked at my watch. You can look at yours right now. We'll never look at it again. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. There we be. My Lord. We were over there quite a while, weren't we? In that realm. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm just going to say three words to you right now. Write them down. Despair, distress, and stress. Despair, stress, and stress. Distress and stress. Despair, to be overcome with feelings of futility, defeat, and a lack of hope. To be overcome with feelings of futility, defeat, and a lack of hope. Distress, a state of physical, mental suffering, acute physical discomfort. Stress, an applied force or system of forces to deform or strain a body. Stress. All three of these equal or sums up what we call sickness. And one way or another contribute to what we have to deal with in our physical body, sickness. And not a one of us in here, no matter how much faith we had, have exerted in past or present, have been able to completely avoid this thing called sickness. Yet, we know what Scripture said, or do we? So it's our opportunity, I believe, to, I won't say set some things straight, because there are a lot of people before me that have dealt with these things, but to just put in perspective, I guess, what this thing called sickness is, what the Lord wants us to do with it, and why we should not warm up to it, no matter what. Can you say amen? Now, so these three things and that progression of things account for the major part of our major illnesses, whatever they are. By environmental things alone, are contributing factors. We got carcinogens and chemicals and all kinds of stuff, unnatural processed foods. And none of that was around. We start talking about the old days. I'm not talking about the ancient days, the millennials ago, when people lived, you know, they had no pollution. They had no, you know, impure water. They had no impure, you know, beef or whatever, no hormones in their food. Well, that's a lot that contributed to their long living. In Jesus' day, none of this stuff was available. I mean, it wasn't around, but it still wasn't available. But I remember as a kid, when I realized that Kraft, all the sandwiches, this Kraft processed pasteurized cheese, and I realized that wasn't cheese, I was shocked. Because I standardized everything by the Kraft pasteurized cheese, which really isn't. So we can get conditioned, as it were, to what we think is acceptable, and the norm is exactly the opposite. Can you say amen? So then, we have to get a hold of something that we've not to the degree that we should in times gone by, to deal with it from a biblical perspective, our whole concept concerning health and wholeness. This is not, again, preachy or teachy, informational, sometimes inspirational. Most of the time, not. At some point or another, you will be able to say amen, shout hallelujah, get up and take a fit or two. Amen? Because I'm telling you right now, when I got a hold of this, I said, Lord, it's easy for, I was in a meeting in New Jersey. And it was a young minister. I invited him to Koinonia. He had to cancel. I'll tell you about his name in a minute. And we had this meeting, and he was preaching on healing. And it was good. And he all the right scriptures, but it wasn't long before what I say, he was speaking from a non-authoritarian perspective. Because you're not old enough to have some of the things he was talking about. In other words, it's easy for a 22-year-old to talk about not having arthritis. Are you listening to me? It's non-experiential for him. And so he can talk about it as anything else. I want to come now. Well, yeah, but get on over here. Get on over there and break up your legs or break up your bones when you were that young, and now you're in your 60s and 70s. All of a sudden, there's an ache there. It's got a name. So when you were talking about a 22 years old that just visited you. But we don't have to take that. As a matter of fact, this left wrist right now, I got it, Lord. This left wrist right now. I'm 36 years old at the time, 36 or 37, playing on a church league basketball team in Southern California. And that was a breakaway. I mean, we were tied. And, seven seconds left. And I got a rebound, and I got to make it to the end of the court in that layup. Otherwise, I could pull up from my fadeaway jumper, which was sweet. But I didn't have time. I got to get on a no style, just get down and lay it up, I got right to the basket and the guy tripped me in the church league on purpose. They had a devil on their team. Yeah. And so when I automatically went down and jutted out, you don't think about, I'm on the way down here, should I brace with my left or should I brace with my right? You just brace. And when I was going so fast, man, I heard, bam, when I hit that lid, and boy, it popped. I got up, shot the free throw, and I knew, man, this was bad. And listen, at the time, I'm all faith up. I'm faith up as anybody else. I'm ready. I'm tanked up. And so, I just go and put the faith thing on it. Glory to God. That's it. Boom, boom, boom. The next morning, my wrist said, what'd you say last night? Vroom, vroom, vroom. I mean, I'm stuffing it. I'm going to work. Driving. Trying to make a left turn. No, you use right hand. During the day. Boom. Finally, I had to relent. I got to go see the doctor. Nothing wrong with doctors. Thank God for doctors. I go see the doctor. Now watch this. I'm not sliding down the faith scale. Are you listening to me? I'm going to see the doctor because whatever is wrong has got to be looked at, and I ain't no doctor. So I get over there, and so he goes through his routine with the x-rays, and he says, you just pushed that bone and fantailed the bone it went into. You drove it into it. Look at it. It's spread out like a mushroom. I said, wow. I said, well, that heals. Oh, no, that won't heal. He says, you're going to have surgery. So when we'll just schedule for surgery. I said, whoa. He said, well, why? He said, because you cannot expect to. He says, you're going to have arthritis. That's when he messed up right then. And adamantly I said, I will not. Right there in his face. Now, I'm not 22. I'm 36, 37. I'm a good candidate. You know, but I got a word on the inside of me. A spirit of boldness came upon me, and the spirit of faith kicked in. I wasn't pre-thinking that. I will not. I said, what's the alternative? He said, we can do traction. I said, well, excuse me? We can put it in traction. I said, traction? How long will that take? He said, 5 or 6 hours, you can't move. I said, bring it out. Track me up, bro. You know? They put a little accordion things on my fingers and about 20 pounds of weight, and I'm stretched out there for 6 hours. Then they set it. No surgery. Still got the fadeaway jumper. Hey! Dribble with the left hand. Right, yeah. The brother has still got it. What I'm saying, the spirit of faith will come on you. That's when you say those things. Not just because I'm going to have no right. I said it, and right now there's no arthritis there. Should have said that about a few other things. Are you listening to me? You got to cover it all. But can you cover it all? We should cover, but can we cover it all? We don't remember. We don't think. So we got to get to the place where, is healing the will of God or not? That's where we got to go. Can you say amen here?
Amen.
Now, since we're not teaching, since we're not preaching, what was that? We're going to have this be just informational. Environmental. Everybody say environmental.
Environmental.
In America, there is no history of heart disease until the 1890s when Coca-Cola was introduced. Now we have congenital things where people that, you know, had a bad heart because of the gene pool, but as far as the heart disease, non-existent until Coca-Cola showed up. Is there a relevance there? Sugar, is there a relevance there? I would think so. So we got environmental impact. So then we have an opportunity to look at what we're contributing to our own health demise that God can do nothing about. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You'll get your joy back in a minute, all right? Now, how can we restore hope? If there's despair, if there's despondency, if there's stress, if there's distress, how do we get back over there? We find out what the will of God is on the situation. Can you say amen? Now go with me, if you will, to Psalms 67. Psalm 67. And a couple things we're going to look at here. Again, this is where we're going to the informational part. Nobody has to shout. Nobody has to run. Nobody has to, you know, act like you were overwhelmed by the glory of God, because this is going to hit you right between the little bitty eyes. 67, verse number 1. Where is that? Verse number 1 and 2. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. I like to put so in front of the word that. So that thy way stop. Way is the method or the manner. Say method, manner. That's the way of God, whatever the way is. So that thy way be known upon earth. What is the way? Thy saving health among all nations. His saving health among all nations is the manner or the way that God wants to operate. That's the will of God. And what is the will of God? Well, we can say if the will of God is to be healed, for all to be healed, everybody's not healed. I agree with that. Well, it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to salvation or come to repentance. But all are not saved. So then, the will of God, and I got this from the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm going to run it by some, you know, emeritus professors and stuff like that, but I got it from the Holy Ghost. Here's what I heard. The will of God is his ability to execute anything and everything that he wants to do, or the will of God is the want of God. His ability to execute anything he wants to do independently with no help from anyone or anything. That's the will of God. The will of God and the want of God is his will, his ability to execute anything he elects to do independent of anybody else's influence. In other words, dependent on nobody else. So, then, here's the Calvinist perspective. If it's the will of God for everybody to be saved, bam, then they're saved. And if it's not his will, then you can't get saved. That means then, he's already got people saved. That's what we call predestination. And therefore, if you're not saved and you're not counted among them, don't even try. Because you can't get it anyway. And if you are saved, it means, well, you can live any type of way you want to because you're already saved. That's a fatalistic outlook. No, God's will is that you and I be redeemed. God's will is that you and I be healed. Now, but can he execute that independent of my participation? And the answer is no. Other than this, we have this word, the sovereignty of God. In that regard, I've seen it. I've seen the sovereignty of God. Nobody's looking for healing. Nobody's looking for anything. Bam, there it is. But that is not the standard of the Bible. The standard of the Bible is for you to get saved, you're going to participate in it. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a contingency, is it not? Well, everything else in the Bible works the same way, independent of his sovereign will. So based upon that alone, is it his will that we be saved? Absolutely. Is it his will that we be healed? He wants that to be the case. But he can't make that the case because you've got a part to play in it. Can you say amen? And the part we play, we're going to get to probably tomorrow morning, has a lot more to do than what we've been thinking about. So he says this in Psalm 68 and 19, right next door, we'll read this. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with what? Benefits, even the God of our salvation. Same Hebrew word, salvation, over here, saving health. Strong's Concordance number 3444. Look it up. Every time, it'll be the same thing. And it's Yeshua, not Yahshua, not Joshua, but Y-E-S-H-U-H-A-H. Sounds pretty close to Yahweh, doesn't it? Well, it's relative because within his name is saving grace. Within his name is healing power. We sing about blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, guess what we're saying? It's not just numbers. It's the embedded quality and attributes of that name that we're singing about. And it has power independent of just the letters themselves. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, based upon that alone, we have to deduce here, it is his will that we be saved. Otherwise, why would he load us with these benefits? Well, what are they? Go to Psalms 103. You know that one. Psalms 103. How often does he do it? Daily. Everybody say daily. Now, we don't have any problem praying our daily bread in the scripture, as Matthew 6 teaches us. But here, look at what it says in Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not some of his benefits. How's your Bible read? Forget not what? All, none of his benefits. Don't you forget nary a one, like the old folk would say. Not a one do you forget. Well, what are some of those benefits? Look at two of them. Who forgiveth all of thine iniquities? Oh, Lord, here we go. Who healeth some of thy diseases? Man, I'm telling you, take the whole ball of wax. You are as forgiven as you are healed. You are as healed as you are forgiven. And we've taught on that. You know that. I mean, I'm sure Pastor covered that as well. So then I'm going to have to look at what Scripture says, and Scripture alone when it comes to healing. Scripture says he loads me up daily with benefits. I'm not to forget any of those benefits. But I'm going to single these two out. I'm forgiven and I'm healed. And it's the God that does that that I'm now extolling, exalting, singing about, raising my hands to. I've got to believe that that must be the case. Can you say amen? So healing is the will of God. Now we're in a progression. I'm sitting there, you know, in times going by in meetings. And I see the ministries going in different directions. I'm going, yeah, yeah, you're going there, you're going there. Because then all of a sudden, Scripture locates me. Scripture locates you. Scripture locates us. And then while that progression is going on, we're now isolating ourselves, because now we are either we're above that, or we've walked in that, or we're not there, one way or the other. And someone on the line is going to hit here. Now I'm going to sit there and go, but I'm not there, or I don't have that. No matter what the subject is, in healing, it's the very same thing. We're sitting, anticipating, okay, well, what about me? And so I'm going to just amen and Pentecostal nod and Pentecostal wave and let it go on by. Because I don't want to be speculating as to why I'm not walking in that. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you now, not a one of us have not been there. And I'm sitting there and somebody's going, here he goes, and it locates me. It's time for a Pentecostal wave. Here we go. Have you been there? Not a one of you. My Lord. Well, I got three. Yeah. My Lord. Well, guess what? Scriptures are not going to bend and wrap around and conform to us. We conform to Scripture. Are you listening to me? And by so doing, we reap those benefits. And not let anything, nothing, even our own contemporary situation, dilute the power of what the Word of God says. We got to be there. Everybody's got to be there. But we're not apt to be there, because now we don't meet that. So now all of a sudden, just let it go. Because get to the next subject, brother. Get to the next scripture. Well, I don't want to. I want to stay right where I am, because I had to look this square in the face myself. You're going to teach something. You're going to espouse something. It's one thing. Now, you know, this is an example I'm going to use. That young man that was preaching about arthritis and all that kind of stuff, it was the truth of the Word of God. But I'm saying, you know, why don't you stay in an area? We can teach the Word of God no matter what it is. But don't go and hammer that, because you're not even anywhere near the potential to even walk in that. On the other hand, I heard an 87-year-old man talking about healing. Well, he gets my ear. He's walked this planet 87 years. He's walked in divine health. I'm going to listen to him a whole lot more than a 22-year-old. Same Bible. Yes. Are you listening to me? He's going to tell you what happened when he was challenged. I've heard a lady that was, matter of fact, I read her book. And she was a medical doctor. She was a contemporary way back then. And she kept treating her patients. And somebody said, well, why don't you pray for them? Well, she was a Christian and all, man, I don't pray for it. But she began to look at the Word of God and start praying for it. And everyone she prayed for got better faster, got healed quicker. So something to this. And she's delving into the Scripture. She's already brilliant. She's delving into the Scripture more and more and more and more, poking at it, trying to find out the loophole. Ain't no shortcut. And when she finally resolved, she said, you know what? I'm going to put this aside. I'm going to go on this end. She's now walked, well, at that time, left her whole medical profession and had more people healed in the 10 years of her ministry than she did in 35 years of being a doctor. See, it's about us diving in, pressing, pushing, getting over there and not letting the situation that we are dealing with impede our progress in the Word of God. Somebody shout amen. That's where the reality is. The reality is, what do? Are we in denial? Let's deal with that. If there's something, last March, let's put it this way. I never take flu shots because I don't expect to get the flu. I don't anticipate, well, just, you know, it's coming, so you know. No. I don't take them because it ain't coming. I ward it off. I'm not going to get no flu, and I haven't had the flu since I started warding it off. But if you're not careful, a young man called me, one of the ones I talked about years ago that was got saved in the duck blind. He's going through some trouble. He said, with a crappie biting over at so-and-so, I knew he wanted to talk. I just got in town. It's March. I'm thinking, man, I'm leaving town for Chicago 2 days later, not from Birmingham, then to Chicago. And I said, Evelyn, so-and-so needs me. He said, well, go on. I drive out there. We meet halfway because it's about, 40 miles. We meet halfway. He said, well, get in my truck, and we'll go to it's fishing right off the dam. And it's Tulsa. It's cold. Not quite Detroit. It's Michigan, but it's cold in March. You know, I heard the news yesterday on WWL. Said, we got a chill factor. It's going to be 48. 40, give me a break, man. 48 chill factor. It was -3 wind chill factor 2 weeks ago in Tulsa. People going out there, Well, it's getting a little chilly. I still got Louisiana blood in me. It's more than chilly. Amen. Anyway, and so we're out there on this dam, and he's from up there somewhere, crazy place where, weather doesn't mean a thing. And he's fishing. I think he got a bite. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm biting. I'm biting my lip here. You're trying to catch a crappie, He said, I want to catch him. He said, I got to poke a hole in their gill because we snagging. I said, I ain't snagging no crappie. This is illegal. He said, give it to me. I'll poke the hole in it then. I got in this truck and he coughed. And 2 minutes later, I coughed. And I knew when I did that, I let my guard down. And I knew that's before we went fishing. And the whole time I said, Lord, I repent of this. How did I let? I mean, I already knew. How did I let? Now, I didn't go start commanding, I rebuke you, you foul bacteria, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You cannot light upon this body. I didn't do any of that. I knew right then I let my guard down. I got home to it. I said, you know what? I said, I'm not confessing wrongly, but I know what happened. I repented of it. But I had to deal with what happened. I'm in Birmingham. I'm coughing. I got to preach. I've got to preach. I can't go 2 minutes without coughing. And I'm talking about hacking. I'm not talking about this cute. What on that? I mean, I was one of them rare backers, eyes, balls, veins. It was going on. In the hotel, I got a pillow over my head. It's horrible. We get to church the next morning, and the pastor's wife said, Marcel, I know that you're the Carringtons. I know that you, I'm with you, can I get you some tea or something? No, I'll give you a, hit that pulpit, bam, nothing. Sang, bam, nothing. Came from under that anointing, pow! I dealt with that for almost 3 weeks. When I preached, nothing. Come out of the pulpit, I said, Lord, I repented of it. but I won't let it happen again. Now watch this. I didn't go around saying, I don't have no cough. Are you listening to me? I'm not in denial. But what I do, watch this. You elevate truth over fact. Everybody say elevate.
Truth.
Over fact. It's a fact that I got something going on here. It's the truth that I'm healed.
Yes.
And what's the truth? John 17:17, thy word is truth. I got to go back to the source of my redemption. I got to hold on to what my promises are in the midst of my trial. Are you listening to me? Let me just say something. Those instruments don't lie. If it says 103, that's called fever. Past 98.6, it's called fever. I ain't got no fever. Then why is that mercury jumping up there like that? Are you listening to me? Stop the stupidity of trying to, I ain't got no cold. No, but we elevate the truth over the fact. Somebody shout amen here. And when we do, guess what? Rescue is already there. Ain't no long range you got to come. Amen. I mean, you are rescued already and you walk it out. And the reason I knew I was walking it out in faith is whenever I preached, I didn't cough one time in 3 weeks. I went to Chicago, Pastor Tassio. I mean, I'm sitting there that morning. I'm in the hotel. I've got honey and lemon. I've got everything going on. Somebody says cinnamon and glenamine. I'm gulping. I'm telling you, Evelyn, I said, you go on. I'll go on the couch because it was. You can't even sleep because of this. That's the way it was all night. Got to church that morning. We're Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday. That one time cough. How is that? Because God will show you He's honoring the faith that you're walking in. Are you listening to me? Don't let anybody put you under, quote unquote, the Gumby. I thought you said you were healed. I am. Through your cough said I'm healed. Somebody shout amen here. Because it's not about the contemporary. It's about the promise of God. Hallelujah. Man, let me get over here. I'm trying not to preach, Lord. It ain't working. All right. Now, I want to draw your attention to something, though. First of all, Jesus' perspective on sickness as opposed to our perspective on sickness. Our perspective is this. Sickness is natural. It's a part of the cursed earth. It's what we deal with as believers. I mean, deal with as human beings. It's just part of, that's not his perspective. Jesus always sees sickness as an evil that came from sin through Satan, from which we should be delivered. Always. He never one time advised anyone to literally resign themselves to being sick or remaining sick. Not one time. He always wanted people to be delivered from their sickness. That's the will of God. But it didn't always happen. We know with some places where he healed them all, but he didn't heal them all always. How do you know that? Go to Mark, if you will. Mark chapter 2. Look at this. And we'll just kind of take our time and lay some scripture here and then jump on it in the morning and then go from there. Anybody get any help so far? Okay, then it's just this not some, you know, I'm not here to teach about something that most of you already know that's already in Scripture. We're just trying to elevate or show some things that we're probably not dealing with. Okay, look at this. Is that what I'm looking for? I won't do this one first. I wasn't going to do this first, but I want you to. Yeah, okay. Verse number 8, he said, why reason ye these things in your heart? Now, this is talking about, you know, he's getting ready to heal this man or has healed this man. Or his healing is connected to, remember, he always sees sickness as sin. And so there's a pardoning and a healing walking abreast. Healing and pardoning walk abreast in the scripture. In other words, they're parallel. The healing of the body, the pardoning of sin. That's very important. And so what he says here, he says, whether, verse number 9, whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, so the man is sick with a disease. Is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Now he's equating these. He goes on to say, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, repent and be baptized, and you shall be saved. Be healed. You confess. No, he didn't say that at all. What he said, he says this. He said, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. He didn't say anything about salvation. But the fact is, he's forgiven the sin, and then the healing is going to flow. And so what he's seeing, pardoning of the sinfulness and the healing of the body complement each other. Now that's kind of out of the pocket a little bit, because we want to just kind of keep them separate, but Jesus never did that. His ministry is not only here in other places. His ministry shows that he's concerned about the inward ability of the person as well as the outward ability of them to live right. And he never separates them. So then, are you saying, Brother Joseph, that if I'm dealing with something because of sin? That's exactly what I'm saying. Before you run away with that, I didn't say because you're sinning. I said it's because of sin. According to Romans chapter 5. Are you listening to me? Sin entered the world. And by that sin entering the world, death also came with sin, and sickness is creeping death. So, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, but I'm forgiven. Of course you are. And since you're forgiven, we ought to walk like it. Go on, touch me, brother. Pat me on the back, Josh. Yeah, glory to God. Amen. Listen, since we are forgiven, we ought to look like it. If we're forgiven, we ought to talk like it. Well, I'm telling you, should have got quiet in this Presbyterian church, Jake, all of a sudden, didn't it? I'm saying that I can contribute to my own demise. I can put dust. Remember, anybody remember Yogi Berra? Yogi Berra was a nut. He was a Yankee catcher. And he and another guy that used to be with the St. Louis, Billy Martin, did the same thing. They get mad and they just kick dust on the paper. I'm thinking, and what's that going to do? I mean, they just kick dust all over the home plate or kick dust on the sink. Now take that. If I would take it, I'd just wipe it right off. Now get out of here. You're out of the game. That's exactly what we do. We kick dust on the redemptive work of God. We can mess up for our own benefit what he's already accomplished for us. Can you say amen? We can contribute to our own demise. And I came to the conclusion many, many years ago, you might be able to trip me up in some other area. Ain't likely, but I'll tell you one thing you won't do. You ain't going to catch me in sin. Not knowing. Are you listening to me? It ain't going to happen. I told my kids, I mean, they were seven and nine, respectively, we came into the things of God. Now, remember, maybe you don't know, but I wasn't always appointed and anointed, you know? I mean, the fellow was out there for a minute. Glory to God. All right? And our kids watched, and we party all the time. All the time. My son at seven could outdance me. The boy had rhythm that I didn't know even existed. And the next thing I know, you know, we're partying together. We didn't do any crazy stuff in front of them, but we just partied all the time. So when all of a sudden they came to a screeching halt, they were like, well, what do we do now? Well, we're going to go to church. What's that? We're going to go to church. We're going to serve God. And so we raised them countering those things that we have sown into them. Are you listening to me? Constantly countering those things. And I sat my son down, I sat my daughter down, and they're teens. I said, listen to me. Here's one thing I want you to understand. Satan will never, ever, 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 never, 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 ever, never, never come between me and your mom. Ever. It's an impossibility. Can't happen. Won't happen. Ever. I said, but you're the next target. Are you listening to me? I said, you're the next target. So I'm gonna build you up right now. Get ready. Dad's behind you, but you are going to be on the front line because he ain't coming after me no more. Uh-huh. Are you listening to me? Yeah. And so you got to be aware that you're not the primary target all the time. As a matter of fact, if you ward it off, you ain't the target at all at that point. You have to give up on them. So be careful. We can still fight battles, even for our loved ones. Somebody shout amen here. But I want to restrict this to sickness. Because my son can't get sick in place of me. Or my daughter, I can be sick. She can be sick. But what do we do with that? And yet we're redeemed. We can't walk in denial. We call the things to be not as though they were. And we're supposed to. I'm going to call for healing when it's not there. Hey, can you say amen? But I'm not going to be crazy to the point where all of a sudden I'm going to walk in denial that I need to see somebody about this condition and not do it. Because I've got ultra, because I am not there. I am not ashamed to tell you that I have got to the point where I am not there in certain places. And forgive me for not being there where you are. But I ain't there sometimes. Can you say amen? And it's my desire to walk in ultimate faith. And the only way to do it is continue to believe what the Word of God says and get stronger and stronger in it every day. Healing belongs to the body of Christ. Healing, wait, now, brother, I know that by His stripes we're healed. Yeah, and the manifestation of it, your knowing that is not always present. Now, let's take those people that just don't know that. There are people that don't know that. There are people that actually, Christians, that don't know that. But you're not counted among them. I know you. You know, I just think about Facebook. This Facebook thing is fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. There are people that write stuff, sweat stuff, and think, I said, look at this. Check it out. That's so-and-so said. Ooh, blah, blah. I want to get them calling for said, listen, I know you. I know you. Have known you for 40 years. That ain't you. And they know that you know. But the persona is already created for them that don't know. Oh, you listen to me? That's the way a lot of Christians try to act concerning the same principles of God. You don't believe it no more than, you know, a man walked on the moon and did the moonwalk before Michael Jackson did it. Amen? Yet you're espousing it. Yet you're espousing it. Because it makes you look good. You created a persona. I don't want no persona. I want to know Him and the power of His, hey, ha, of His resurrection. I want to know Him. And I'm going to know Him more. I'm going to press every day to know Him more and walk in the deep things of God. Somebody shout amen. Because I have a physical body that's vulnerable to having a second cold. You ever had a cold more than once? No, brother, I had one in 47. My last cold. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Listen to me. There are people that can make that statement. I can't verify it. I've had read people, but I've had a cold more than once. Amen? One tried to get on. When I say cold, I'm not talking about a sniffle. I'm talking about something that makes you debilitating, lock you up, take you off your feet. Everybody's fighting something every now and then. But if you don't warm up to this stuff, Yeah, you know, it's the flu season. Yeah, so get my Vic Saf and whatever else to use these days. I got off that train way back when. My mama used to use Vic Saf and put a patch on my chest and almost suffocated during the night. And eucalyptus almost took me out. Those days are gone. Liniment. I mean, rubbing stuff on you, smell like you. Stuff want to come to you and light on you, you know what I mean? I got off that train way back when. Amen. Ain't no Vic Saf in my house. If you need it, go and get it. Amen. Ain't no liniment in my house. I began to believe as best I could in divine health back in 1980. I've had some challenges now and then. Amen. I just told you about one last March. I've had a challenge that, you know, I never thought I would have had. Think, well, glory to God, man. But, now watch me. Don't you dare get under any conviction or condemnation if this is not you. I had a doctor, so I'm going to prescribe this for you. Some condition. I'm going to prescribe this for you. I said, why? He said, because you need it. I said, okay, let me research it. I researched it. I thought, hey, you wrote the prescription out? He said, what's your pharmacy? Well, I don't have anyone in particular. You don't have a pharmacy? No, I don't have a pharmacy. You mean you don't have a pharmacy? You're regular? No, I don't have a regular pharmacy. And there's a Walmart around the corner. That's why I could use it, but I don't have one. He said, well, give me one. I said, well, there's a Walmart. I mean, there's a Walgreens. And so he sent it down. Well, I said, okay, fine. I said to my wife, I said, I don't know about that. So I went and looked it up. And I went, picked it up, and looked at it. Don't you go there without faith. I said, don't you dare go there. I said, looked at it. I said, I'm not taking this. This is not going to make me any better. I will walk and believe God concerning this condition. He said, I got to see you in 90 days. Well, when that date that he set, they didn't ask me, I'm going to see you in 90 days. Man, I was out of the country somewhere. I'll see you when I get back. Now, I did what I knew to do. I made some adjustments. I tweaked some. Are you listening to me? And I said, I went back to the doctor, and his nurse said, you not taking? I said, no, didn't take not one pill. Oh. Took all the signs. Well, how you feel? I feel great. How are you doing? The doctor comes in. He flips the chart, man. And here's bedside manner is off the scale, the other way, zero, minus. Just, you know. The first time the man lit up, he went, oh, but you're not taking the medication. No, I told you I wouldn't. He said, well, you're doing great. I said, told you I would. What I'm saying? I'm saying you have a part to play. And the part is believing the word of God and making whatever adjustments you need to make. Somebody shout amen here. Amen. Oh, brother, I'm just going to just go and believe it and walk and make no adjustments. You're going to be in trouble. Well, I thought I'd be on page number 3 right now. We ain't on page number 1 yet. All right. Now, go to John chapter 5 and we get ready to roll out of here now. Everybody say pardon of sin, healing of sickness, compliment each other. All right. Now, John chapter 4, chapter 5, I said, right? We'll look at verse number 8. Oh, my Lord. Did they predict this weather like this tonight? All right. John 5, verse number 8. Talking to this man that was a paralytic. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So now, the man was healed. Obviously. It's the guy at the pool of Bethesda, wasn't it? And he got healed. Now, that's all well and good, because what we're looking at here, we're looking at an act of God, a sovereign act of God, his desire that the man be healed. The man wants to be healed. Go back and look at the story. All of a sudden, Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. Now, having said that, go to the 14th verse. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So then, there is a relationship between healing and sinning, or retaining what you gain by not sinning. You still love the brother? I'm just telling you what the red said. Can you say amen? It's incumbent upon us to guard and to hold fast. We're going to talk about what retains our healing tomorrow. How, not only just how do we get it, but how do we maintain and retain our healing? So, having said that, we'll look at Jesus' perspective, which is sin or spiritual. Ours is natural. So now we've got to look at his above ours. It's not just because there's something, you know, some bacteria there and all of a sudden, boom, boom. There is the bacteria there because we're in the cursed earth. Absolutely. And so it's because of sin. But then now we don't magnify that. We don't improvise upon the sinning and continue to sin. Because now what we're doing, we're embedding the condition within our own members. You didn't get that. We are literally embedding the condition, solidifying it within our own members. So I elect to back out. Sometimes we sin ignorantly. And you, once you come to your understanding, then you back out of it. Anybody ever been there? I see. All right. No matter. It's just the glory of anybody else. Okay. Let me get that wide angle view. Glory to God. Cast that lying demon out from afar. Glory to God. Every one of us has been there. What am I saying? I'm saying I've got a job to do. I've got some monitoring to do. Can you say amen? And by so doing, I'm keeping myself pure and safe. Somebody shout glory. Now we've got 5 minutes. I'm going to use every one of them. Okay. Now, our day as opposed to the days of the Jews. In the Jews' days, back in Jesus' day, they had more trouble believing about the forgiveness of their sins than they had about being healed. In other words, it was difficult for them to believe that they were forgiven, but they would expect a miracle. Exactly the opposite today. We believe that we're saved. It's just kind of hard to believe that we've completely healed. Are you listening to me? But I'm telling you right now, I cannot come out of scripture perspective and induce mine over it and trump what mine says over scripture. So where I've not walked in the reality of those things, I've got to sit back and re-examine. And we're going to talk about those things tomorrow as to what it is that I need to do to enforce, make sure I'm accurate in my perception. And I'm going to talk about it right now in a sense. Profession and confession. Everybody say profession and confession. In other words, what I profess and what I confess has a lot to do with where I am. And if I can get that right. See, I didn't say that I didn't have a cold and I'm coughing all over the place. I said I am healed. And I don't care what this symptom is doing, I am healed. And so I'm going to walk in that, and the reward of that profession was not coughing in the pulpit. We were in Dawes, Iowa. Dawes, Iowa. Had left the Virgin Islands, ministering 10 days in 80-degree weather, exactly 80 degrees every day. January. We flew out of the Virgin Islands, flew to Miami, and from Miami to Des Moines, Iowa. And from Des Moines, Iowa, we drove to Dawes, Iowa. And the pastor says to me, he says, there's a thermal line between Dawes and Des Moines. He said, we're only just a few miles, 60, 80 miles, I don't know how long. He said, but we're 20 degrees sometimes colder than Des Moines. I said, thanks a lot. We got to Des Moines, it was already zero. I'm thinking, good Lord. He said, I love these wintertime camp meetings. I'm thinking, can you disinvite me the next year? We got there, let me tell you, it was 23 below. Wind chill factor, crazy, off the scale. I'm thinking, we went outside and I took a breath. And that was it. And I took a breath, 80 degrees, 10 days. straight. 23 below the very next day. And Adam took a breath, and that was it. We were both. We could have learned signing right then. Glory to God. It was over, man. We couldn't say a word to each other. Neither one of us. The pastor came to pick us up to the service. We got there. We didn't say a thing on the way there. Can I said, a little laryngitis. I'll get you some lemon. He went to get them. We got to the pulpit. I think, oh, God, I'm trying to make an excuse and walk out. Well, it's good to be in Des Moines. Who said that? it's good to be. Yeah, we love Des Moines. I want to say in the summertime, but I'm not number. But anyway, preach, sang 4 days. Left the church, we couldn't talk to each other for 3 days. Come back to the church, sing, preach. Go back, could not talk. You see, when you're walking with your heart fixed right, he rewards you with indications that you're living right before him. Both of us couldn't even talk to each other, but preached and sang with no issues whatsoever. What's that? Because you know you're in the right place. Somebody said, so don't let these symptoms trip you up. Don't let this stuff, these measurements, and don't let that trip you up. Because you got a covenant with a holy God. And if you dare take that step of faith toward him, he's going to show you tablets and just indications of a reward. You're right, son. You're right, daughter. Stay with it. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And when you do, your breakthrough is not only a partial deliverance. Your breakthrough bursts forth as full deliverance. You don't carry that stuff for the next 6 months or next year. You'll have this the rest of your life. No, it won't. Somebody shout amen here. You put the limits on it yourself. It's about what you profess and what you confess. Can you say amen? Let's stand. Father, I thank you tonight in the name of the Lord for the simplicity, yet the power and the potency of your word. Help us to get this over, Father, in a way that is not condemning, but is reality in this cursed earth. Yet we have the upper hand. Doesn't matter what it looks like, we have the upper hand because we have the almost powerful God. For that we give you praise and honor in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord, as we leave this place, what you've uttered in our hearts will stick. And we will maintain this posture of faith because the scriptures lead us into it. For that we give you glory, honor, and praise in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Born of the Spirit, love God with all your heart. Saved and redeemed from the curse of the law. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Believer's hand should be in the air, every one of you. If you're saved, I should seize your hand. If you're not saved, I'm going to call you out. Glory to God with an unraised hand. So you're the one that needs to be saved tonight. Praise God. All right.